Forever! Dog!
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Technically two episodes left. Star Trek's favorite show about itself. It's just Trek's in the City comes at you live with a very special episode with no guest. Plenty of people from all over the galaxy were clamoring to be on this episode. And every single time we said, no, I'm getting something from my co-producer, Veronica Osorio. What's that?
It's the music's so loud, I can't hear you.
Oh, it's too loud. Okay, sorry about that. I'll just stop it. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. Did you hear what I was saying or no? You couldn't hear.
No, I understood you were introducing us and I liked it, like as a concept.
But I was saying that like we tried to get a guest or that guests tried to get on our show and we were like, no way, this is just a me and Veronica thing. You're out of your mind if you think. You're out of your mind.
Basically, we said no.
Frankly, you're out, said no. You're out of your mind.
Frankly,
what I kept saying. You know, I know it's not supposed to say that, you know, mental health, but.
You're fucking out of ya.
How are you?
You're
I can barely see you. And this, I thought it wouldn't be a problem, but now it's already a huge problem. I can barely see you.
Well,
you're like
I'm
a
here.
Tiny.
You know, I'm sure there's a way to look. You can do it. You can actually split the screen better.
Okay, how do I do
that? We're on Zoom. Alice is sharing her
screen.
We on Zoom. Alice is sharing her screen. If she stops sharing her screen,
yeah, I know.
So that we can see each other, everything will go to shit because we won't be able to share video.
Right.
Which ain't no one from here cares.
No one from here cares.
No one from here cares.
If you're from out of town, you might give a shit, but not us.
If you're from here, you DGAF.
You DGAF, you know? But we're from here. So what can we do? We have no choice. We're from here. So we got to care. I have so much to talk to you about. We haven't spoken in a long time. Not like a long time, but it's been too long.
Okay,
there's
shut up.
So much.
Skylar is about. Shut up.
Oh, okay.
yes, please. Here, wait. I just figured out how to make the video screens bigger.
Okay.
So that people are gonna love this. So on your screen, yeah, there's a little bar next to the two video screens,
bar.
The one showing you and the one showing
Vero. A gray bar.
And there should be two little like
light
gray hashes.
Yeah, but then it doesn't show both of us.
Yeah, it does.
No, but drag over the light gray hashes, drag them to the left, and it'll expand your video.
Drag them over the gray hashes.
So when I'm on the show thumbnail view, you can hover over them. Show active speaker. Hide thumbnail video.
Drag them all the gray latches
here,
all
Veronica,
the way to
helpful,
the left.
I gotta say.
Here,
helpful.
Let me. I'm gonna share screen really quick so you can see mine.
But if I'm sharing screen,
Then I won't do it. I was.
Share
right
it. I stopped.
Be crazy. Be crazy and share it, Skylar. Be crazy.
Be crazy. Be crazy.
I'm just going wild.
Oh my God, it's going so wild.
I'm going so wild right now.
Our guest today is Skylar's instructions.
Is my
it's not even Skylar. It's
Skylar.
His instructions. If you scroll down that latch. You scroll the gray latch all the way to the left. You can see a bigger screen and you will find it. You can
so
do it. Trust you, Alice. We just showed that you can do it.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
I'm now realizing there's a problem with me talking this through on the screen share. And the reason that is that it shares my screen. It doesn't share the Zoom screen.
Exactly.
And what I need you to do is...
It's like trying to look at your face without a mirror.
It is exactly like that. In so far as I can't quite track how that would work.
All you can see from your face without a mirror is if your nose. From one eye and the other.
Not me. But my nose is too cute and small.
It's like a button.
It's like a button. It's too small.
But so when in gallery view, if you share screen, we should all basically appear as like stacked video screens on the side. And there should be a little bar dividing us between the video screens of us and the video
screen.
Great
hinge.
That you are sharing, and you should be able to expand the video screen you're sharing.
Okay, be crazy and share the screen.
No, he already did. He said
No, you.
Me? Okay, be crazy and share the screen. Okay, I'm going to be crazy, share the screen. Okay. Now I'm crazy.
Okay. So at the end of your screen share, there's a gray bar.
Yeah, more.
No, in your Zoom.
Oh, yeah, see, I'm realizing you're having the same problem because you can't see the Zoom. Interesting.
Well, also, it's because... how do I put this? Oh, maybe it needs to be in full screen. Sometimes that helps. More, enter full screen, view.
I find that the full screen never helped me, personally. It just confuses everything.
Oh,
you guys
I hate full
see,
screen. I hate
you guys,
it.
You guys want to see something amazing?
Oh, okay. I guess why not stop this process entirely?
I'm sorry.
Well, you can see this. You can see the video again, can't you?
Yeah.
So
the video's working.
We're fine.
Great.
So it's all a moot point. But do leave this in.
For
I don't
everyone
know.
At
do
home,
you decide, Skylar, how much of this is going to stay in? Because I kind of liked it. I'm gonna like it.
Yeah, we can use it. I mean, it's a good 5 minutes of us not knowing what we're doing.
I don't know. There's some gold there. Just trying to mine the gold. And I have a lot to say about mining. But first, I want to see what Veronica is talking about that's amazing.
Okay, so for everyone at home, I needed a mouse pad, as we all do at some point in our lives. I've been dragging
some people
a
never
mouse
do.
Pad.
Just want to say that.
Okay, I bought a mouse. Look at this. It's purple. It's cute.
Oh my God, it's so cute. I was going to buy a cute mouse. I actually bought a mouse too.
Look at this. It represents our personalities.
Mine is
great. But you deserve a cute mouse.
Good
look,
screenshot.
We're all, if we, for everyone at home, we're all showing our mouse, our external mouse. Not the mouse track pad.
It's cute. for the gram.
People are going to love
but
that.
But then I was like,
oh, I'm touching the
You know
keyboard.
When you have a mouse, a mouse, you need to drag it on top of something. It can't just be the surface.
It can be. I have my, mine can just go on the surface.
Well, I bought a mouse pad.
Okay.
But with a wrist support. I wanted a wrist support. Everyone at home knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, everyone. Yeah, everybody does know what you're talking about with wrist support. I agree. I don't think any of our listeners are like new to wrist support.
Okay.
If you are,
so you're with me.
Most of the listeners have awful carpal tunnel. And so
it's why we have a carpal tunnel cat.
I started looking for like amazing wrist supports, and I typed mouse pad wrist support cute. And guys, what I have found was an entire world of pornography wrist support. And so this is my mouse pad. It's an anime woman.
If you're not watching along with us, which is probably true.
This is like what is happening. Describe it, Alice.
It's
please.
A circular pad with a wrist support attached at one side. The pad has a design on it of an anime girl who is
hot
looking
girl.
Over her shoulder at you sort of seductively as they do.
Metallic.
And she's got, you know, her space suit on. And then the breast support is actually her butt, where her butt goes. And it is a two...
It's juicy.
Full on gel memory foam, just buttocks.
Like really pornographic.
That's really great. And very
Very, isn't it amazing? I'm just like checking her out all day. It's amazing.
It's very you.
There were one with nipples, and I gotta tell you, there are some with man boobs out there.
That's
yes.
Equal opportunity. There's,
I know. I was just like, so I'm so
imagine
sad
the dust up at the company that made that possible.
Imagine, yeah, the emails that were sent were like, we can't just keep promoting.
I'm also
producing.
Trying to work.
Yeah.
And I may be the only gay in the village.
I was thinking that, yeah, we can't just keep producing the hot women trackpads. We need to have men objectified for wrist support as well.
And then they sold out in one day and they were like, oh.
You actually have to see this. Wait one second.
Oh my God, I love it. It's pecs.
It's pecs, but it's boobs. Like, it's thick enough that it's boobs. It's a man in a button down and an untied tie, and he has boobs.
Nothing
and
like
so
an
the boobs
tie.
Is the wrist support. Yeah, the wrist support. So yeah, there's a world out there where your mouse pad can look like this. I just can't wait to bring it to like a meeting. You know, like when we have real meetings.
when you bring your own mouse pad.
Oh God, man, I can't wait to go back to meetings. I remember things just like bringing my own mouse pad, stuff like that. That I just remember
you set
from
up your whole
real life meetings, where I would just like go to the coffee. You know, you go to Blue Bottle or whatever. Obviously, bring out your mouse pad first.
Blue Bottle meetings with your mouse pad. Your entire
you take Skylar can't.
All of my generals. I'm like, let me make sure to set up my mouse pad. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
My external keyboard.
I got an external keyboard too. Let me see your keyboard.
Mine is regular.
Ready?
Let's show each other's keyboards.
I just have another laptop.
This is another screenshot. Guys, if your guys are at home and you're not lifting your screen, your keyboard right now, you're missing out.
Where would they
guys?
Be lifting it to? To no one?
Lift it.
Just lift it. Come on.
Lift it up in the air, man.
Just lift it in the air.
Celebrate.
Lift it with us. We'll know if you don't. That's what I'll say. We'll know if you don't. Know that.
Guys, have you thought about how during this quarantine, these objects we just lifted are extensions of us?
I've thought about it. I don't know. It's becoming this thing where we're inhabiting this new space. But speaking of new space, and I can't wait to talk about this anymore because it's not even the show, but it's something that is going on with me, just like physically, mentally, everything that I have to talk about. And it also has to do with space. And I really want our listeners, if any of them know what I'm talking about, I need people to talk about this game with. And I have nobody except for Reddit. And everybody on Reddit is like so far ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So some of you may know, I bought Garrett a PS5 for his birthday. And no, I didn't get one through like my high-powered agent because he can't even get me good rates at Cobbs, but sorry Tyler, that's mean. You're the best. But I got a PS5 for him. He's been playing, it's great, whatever. And then he started playing this game called No Man's Sky. No recognition anywhere here? Nobody knows?
No Man's Sky? Nobody? No, but I'm about to Google it.
No Man's Sky is the name of the game. Not the greatest, but apparently it's been out for like 6 years. And it was like trash when it first came out, because the game designer who made it was like basically promised that it's like going to be this Ambrosia Shangri-La game that's just promised everything. And then people played it and they were like, this sucks. It's like an open world space exploration game with missions and all sorts of stuff. And over the 6 years, they've added to it. And then there's been user content that's been added. So it's become this like huge thing. But not that many people play it because the initial release of the game was so awful that people aren't really willing to go back. But I started playing it in the new iteration of it, and I'm 27 hours deep, and I'm like completely addicted to this game.
Of course,
completely.
You are.
The other night was like, I'll play a little bit before bed. Check the clock; it's 3 a.m, and I've been playing, and I didn't even witness a scintilla of time go by. So let me get up a screen here. We'll do some video demonstration of.
We're gonna watch an Alice playthrough.
There's so much to do in this game.
For everyone at home who was bored with the mouse and the mouse pad talk.
Hey,
Yeah, now we got video game
here
walkthroughs.
Comes. Here comes.
You also can't see. Coming up.
Here comes.
Well, there'll
this
be sounds,
episode,
right? Hopefully.
Season 7, yes, episode yes. 23.
Yeah, should I go yes, away,
right.
by
you're
the way?
Absolutely I right. You're at. Oops, why did I stop my own video?
Just that chill for you, a week and chill.
Okay,
here.
Well, I just want you. But what's going to be fun is hearing your reactions to what I imagine is going to just be a huge revelation. Mm-hmm.
In the industry, campaign and initial release.
Why is
in
everyone, by the way, from Australia?
No Man's Sky felt completely flat, not unlike the recent Cyberpunk 2077 launch. But over the years, with free update after free update, Sean Murray and the No Man's Sky team have turned this game from a disappointing and empty exploration sim into arguably the best sci-fantasy gaming experience.
See what that is? That's a living ship.
This small earth. So, let's talk about the
best. See that giant worm in the sky? I don't even know where you would find that.
You have a lot more gameplay.
This is what I'm saying. I'm 27 hours deep. I haven't even scratched the surface of this. Is literally an entire space exploration, like adventure time. Ooh, this is a really good preview. It's scaring me. God. Like all this stuff that you're seeing, it's way slower than that. Well, if you play in the mode that I'm playing in, it's like you go from planet to planet. You get messages mm-hmm. from like abroad, the like space that are mysterious. You have to investigate them or whatever. But it's mostly space chores. It's
That's
like
fun.
When oh, we talk about lower
it's
decks.
The Enterprise. It's
yeah,
the Enterprise.
When we talk about lower decks on the ship. And also just like day-to-day activities. It's like it's like that universe, but you're just one person in the middle of space. And you have to get a ship and you have to get a Land Rover to explore with. And you have to get, eventually you get a freighter. I got a freighter.
A freighter?
You'll be in space and all of a sudden like these like space pirates will come after you and you have to either fight them or bargain with them. It's amazing.
It sounds
it's where
amazing.
I live now.
It sounds
that's where you moved
yeah, it
into.
Sounds exciting.
I hope so.
I'm a little upset. I'm does, a little it, upset no, it does now. I'm fun. Like, okay, do I need to get a PS5 now?
No. No. I mean, you could just.
Do I have to do this? Because I feel very tempted. It's a problem with all that's happening right now.
But remember, I got you made you get Animal Crossing and you didn't care.
I didn't give a fuck.
So I don't think you should, because okay. I'm still.
But
like,
I do like video games.
500 hours into Animal Crossing,
I'll get addicted to a video game. That's why I don't have a. Frankly, that's why I don't have a console, because I will lose myself.
This game is super addicting, and it's like in the sense that like as a recovering alcoholic, I can sense the like, I'll play and I'll be like I'm not even enjoying this.
You're just punishing yourself.
Yeah, no, it's just like total alcoholism. It's like I'm not even getting. It's like
yeah, you're
the original.
Waking
so I'm
up
not even getting
get
anything
yeah.
from this anymore. But I have to keep going because it's you know it's got me licked. Yeah.
Yeah. I only play like one video game, and I play Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Oh my god, I love
for iPad, and it's a lot of fun.
Ooh.
It's truly the old game from like the 90s that got like ported into like a mobile version, and it's really fun and it's very low stakes and I have a great time with it.
And you build roller coasters.
Love to build a roller coaster.
Fun. I love that.
And yeah, a lot of very goal oriented. It's great. You just got to beat the little levels.
That's really right good. Now, I'm like have to go to another star system to mine cadmium.
Mine yeah. cadmium.
Which means I have to update my warp drive, which I just did, but I have to install, you know, and you can get companions. I got a little pet. His name is Tropy Tropy.
Do you get to name it or is it?
Can you name
no,
it?
No, they just come with a name.
Okay.
But he talks to me. He says like, oh, happy best friend. I love you, mama. And he runs around.
That's sweet. That's very supportive.
But a lot of people get pets they can ride so that they can run around planets on them. But I just got a little like lap, like a purse dog from he like,
a little digital
he's like, he looks like
Pomeranian.
A tiny little yeah. rat terrier, but his face, his whole head is like a gigantic bug, like a big, huge bee, like the head of a bee on a rat terrier's body, and he's
adorable. Of course you would get a fucking purse dog.
Yeah. I'm the only one too. You run around this thing called the Anomaly, which is where you encounter other players on the internet who are also playing the game in various iterations. Like, so some people play in certain modes, and I'm pretty sure everybody encounters us, each other on the Anomaly, which is like a huge, like portable, like it's almost like a Dyson sphere. So inside is, it's like a sphere in space that you can summon anywhere. And it's like half Dyson sphere, half like Death Star. And inside is a place where all the different players can convene. And I think it's players who are playing on different modes, but maybe it's just exploration mode because there's four modes you can play on. Anyway, you can see them with their pets, and they all have giant pets. They don't all, but most of them have giant, like, you know, fast dinosaurs. And I have a tiny, I'm the only person who I've seen who's running around with this stupid little tiny dog.
Well, you have the starter pet.
Can you have two pets?
You can have six. You can have up to six.
You know, well,
I don't want to deal
with digital menagerie.
You're basically your basic data with a tiny pet, one tiny pet.
Yeah, I'm more data, and I don't want to do a whole. I don't want to walk around with a fucking a menagerie or a zoo. I don't want to be like, we bought a zoo in space, you know, because then have to, like, you check in with them and sometimes they're not feeling happy and it's because you didn't feed them enough or you didn't pet them. And so it becomes this like Tamagotchi situation inside your space game, which is, I just want to do the space tours.
Yeah.
Get to the centipede.
Get to the center of the galaxy. That is one of the.
I'm trying not to have to do any of that.
Quests.
Any more tasks. I don't want to do space chores. I don't want to do Earth chores.
I don't want to do Earth chores either, but I do want to do space chores.
That's
anyway, thank you for letting me talk about that. I just really needed to get it off my chest. I'm glad.
I'm glad you got it off your chest.
It might come up again. I can't promise anything.
I think like once you get obsessed with something, it'll come up again. Same like me. It's what we do.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Skylar got a new puppy and he looks sleepy as fuck, but that might just be his face.
Yeah, he's tired from being born.
Yeah.
He's too tired.
It really took it out of him.
It took
he
it
was
out
just
of
so
him.
Busy.
It took him out of it.
That's true. We insisted. Yes, his name is Bodhi after Patrick Swayze in Point Break.
No, of course. We all knew that. Yeah. No need to explain.
He's a real ex-president, this guy. He's very cute. He's over on the couch right now. He's asleep, but he's really making a meal out of the apartment, which I don't
make
love.
Let's make a meal out of this.
Yeah, he's eating it up. Yeah, he's great. Big fan.
And Veronica?
I am. What about me?
Yeah, what about you?
Well, I got my new mouse pad. You know about it. You have
love
no
it.
Idea. I counted the days for it to come. I felt like a little girl of excitement.
Get the horny mouse pad.
I was just so excited to get it.
It's amazing.
To squeeze its butt. Every time I show it to someone, the reaction
it makes work
is,
really fun.
Makes my work meetings really fun. And so I'm going to Austin, right back to Austin.
Right to jail. Why?
Right back to Austin. Because I'm doing a grandma's tour. I'm gonna visit both my grandmas. But I need
Who
a little time.
That,
so,
by the way,
the what?
Who books that? By the way,
yeah,
grandma's tour.
Arts.
My grandma's tour.
Fucking
book,
three arts.
Booker. Yeah. My grandma. I need to leave a little room so that I can test myself a few times. So I can see her, and then I'm traveling to see the other one.
Wait, you're not vaccinated?
I started with my first dose. So,
okay.
So it's not there. You're there, but it's not there.
I got the Pfizer dose 1 and the Modernica 2.
That can happen?
No. What if you could?
There was a news story of one guy who did that and like they just like screwed up at his site. They had like both for and he's probably dead. I don't know. I'm sure
he's probably
great.
Dead. Yeah,
that's
we wouldn't
literally
hear about it.
First thing, first thing I thought about was like, well, nice for his grave.
Yeah. Nice for his grave. I love that phrase. That old idiom. Nice for his grave.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to Austin, man. I'm going to see what's there. I'm going to see. I need to see like anything other than just like
I feel
my
you.
Own. Yeah.
I'm traveling a lot shit. Coming up. I'm traveling a lot. I'm going to Colorado next week and I'm going to Cobbs in May. I'm going to do a show in Cobbs Comedy Club. I guess I'm plugging it now. I'll be there the 14th and 15th, two shows each night. If you guys want to come see me, if you don't, that's fine too. I don't blame
Where's
you.
Where's Cobbs?
I'm not good. Cobbs is in San Francisco. It's Great. The not punchline of comedy clubs in San Francisco. I like it. And then I'm going to go to Minnesota with Garrett for a wedding.
Weddings are active now.
Weddings are active. Actually, Minnesota first, then Cobbs. Yeah. And then I'm going to go to Big Bear with some friends for my birthday at the end of May.
That's
so
fun.
A lot of travel. I'm hoping it'll make this languishing period end. Did you guys read about languishing?
No, but you're saying that there's languishing.
In the New York Times, there's a new article about how, like, of course it's a new article.
they're
Here's
not
an old
just
article.
Reprinting. Yeah. They're like, here's one
Some
of the good
classics.
Ones. Yeah.
Remember, we wrote this thing about Gorbachev.
Yeah. And we nailed it.
So there's depression and then there's psychiatrists call like the two extremes of mental health wellness, like depression and flourishing, and languishing is in the middle. And apparently everybody's languishing in the pandemic. It's like why you feel sluggish and unfocused.
Oh.
And I feel very sluggish and unfocused.
That's funny. I thought that was all about the sun being in my 12th house, but I guess
probably the same thing. Odds are.
As a footnote, it's at the end of the article, it said, or this is all about the sun being in the 12th house.
It might be a sun being in the 12th
when
house.
It's yeah. Like when the month before your birthday, it's in astrology is supposed to be like a languishing one purposefully. Because the sun is like here. It's about to get to where you are, but it's like.
Yeah.
Not quite there. It's behind you.
So you're on pause.
Yeah. So the month before your birthday, it's like.
I hope that's why. I mean, I really like to be, you know, I like to be active. I like to be really.
You're very active.
I'm very active. I'm very.
You're like brushing your eyebrows as we speak.
Yeah. I like to, you know. I like to have a project. I like to have things to work on. And pre this languishing thing that's happening to me or 12th house, the sun.
Yeah.
It has been a whirlwind. I've made hats. I've made masks. I made so many clothes. I don't have them here, but I embellished my Crocs. I just did a lot. And I did a lot.
I thought you were going to say some other sentence.
I started writing a screenplay. My screenplay was coming along. Everything was great. And now wow. I just play this video game and I sleep pretty much.
When did you become languishing? What's the corner? Ooh, pre-vaccine? God. Post-vaccine?
Oh, I think it was probably when I got back from my parents' house.
It was like 2 weeks ago? A week ago?
Maybe a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of April.
Oh, wow. It's the 23rd.
And I got lip filler.
Oh.
They're much more yellow than they used to
be. I want
to
get it's lip really filler. Funny. I want to get a purple one.
My friend's getting... Oh, you weren't serious. My friend is getting real lip filler, so you can ask her about it when she gets it.
Are they good?
Yeah, she's got a really good person that she goes to that's very, very, like, not one of those, like, let's do it. She went in with all these plans, and he was like, I'm not doing any of that shit to your face. Sorry.
I want my lip fillers are cotton balls that I put under my lip.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What like, happened to peanut like, butter? Come on.
Like Brandon.
Yeah, that's Brando. Exactly what. Yeah. Brando and Godfather 2 or Godfather with the word gels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old fashioned.
Like this.
Yeah.
They don't make it like they used to.
They'll make it like they used to.
Wow. Yeah. Sexy.
You're getting cheek filler. Yeah.
Incredible.
Make them like these. That's me post lip filler.
You go to the doctor, you're like, I want the Brando.
Squirrels really? Are like, I love cheek filler. Get it?
I want the Brando. And the doctor's like, come in right up.
Yeah, we have that right on the menu. Yeah.
Squirrels are like, I'm going to get some acorns here. I'm going to get some walnuts here.
I want the walnut effect on this other side.
Like, I'm seeing like lots of squirrels on the ground with like walnut here.
Oh my God.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice. Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum. I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Guys, this is amazing. We're at season 7 of this episode. And Netflix just asked me to rate Star Trek to see if I liked it. And I was like, well, I have like, 100 hours of this on me? More, because it's season 7 times 26 episodes. So
at this point, what do you think? Want to keep going? It's like, we have 3 episodes.
I'll form an opinion any day now. Yeah.
Let's give Trump a chance.
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Let me wait.
Yeah, it's like they think you're treating it as like wallpaper. Like you just have it on and you just passively pass by and you're like, you know what? I will have an opinion on that now.
I thought it was just in the air, but I guess it's a thing you can really delve into. I don't know how I feel about this show coming to an end, but we've been going on Twitter and asking the fans. I don't know if you've seen any of this, Vero. Probably not, but
I closed my Twitter.
I hacked. Okay. Well, then no.
Pretty tough to see it in that case.
It would be not easy.
Twitter.
You can just go to log in to Twitter from the Treks in the City.
Twitter.com/Treks in the City. I can always do that.
So since everyone has been so good and thoughtful in the suggestions, are there any segment ideas? We are thinking of reformatting the show for next leg of the journey, Blue Sky. So people have said, so happy. Everybody, first of all, is very happy to hear that we're continuing after we finished TNG. And we didn't decide that yet, but they have decided it for us. So people are pretty split between DS9, for what we want to do, they want us to do next. It's pretty well split between DS9, Voyager, and the movies.
It makes sense. The movie.
It does
Kristen
make sense.
Kristen loves Voyager. My girlfriend loves Voyager.
There's a lot of love for Voyager out there. And it does have a very TNG-esque storyline.
Yep.
Apparently. So, Bobby Bean says, I would love a recurring segment where you each have to recreate the weirdest line delivery. Jared the Skeptic agrees. So that's a big one. We do that a lot, though. Trek fashion would be fun. Seems like we've pretty much built our entire empire on that. So, and not more. I think people are okay with us not having a ton of segments. A lot of it's like, okay, one person, Jose Belmonte, suggests, also considering the nature of the podcast, wouldn't it be cool to rate the episode from a feminist perspective? Maybe simple thumbs up or thumbs down would be enough. Something like the Treks in the City test, aka like relating to the Bechdel test.
I liked Timothy Pavel, what he said. He's like, why not watch DS9? We got Dad, Cisco, CEO of Antifa. Fashion Sense, Karl Marx, Unbearable Suffering, and they just put O'Brien, and then Polyamorous Bisexual, and they put Dr. Bashir, which is, that's just, I got
huge
juiced
if
up
true.
About that. I got juiced up about that.
I'll huge if true. Yeah, that's tough, right? Because, like, I don't know. We'll have to do a little bit of research. We're obviously going to take a break.
We'll see. We'll take a little break and reconfigure our strategy. But I like that people are participating so fervently.
I do too.
So I'm curious about this episode and what you guys thought. I was like, did you watch it, Skylar?
I did watch it. I just watched it. It's a fun one.
Yeah,
it's
Skylar just asked one. If he should leave.
Well, it's you all at the same
time. Yeah, but you can't. As he's typing that, I'm like, Skylar. So,
yeah, way in further.
Have you watched Star really Trek? What's your first Star Trek episode?
He did watch the episode.
I did watch
that. I'll say this, Skylar. You don't need to be here if you
don't want to.
I always like being here.
Okay. Well, just try not to interrupt so much. Okay. I'm just kidding.
No, I take the note.
Listen, so you watched it. Skylar, you know what? I've never asked you, like, have you watched many?
No, I haven't. I mean, I haven't watched that many. I have started watching now to keep up with you all, like when we're covering an episode. But before starting producing with you all, I had never watched the show. I'd seen the Zachary Quinto, J.J. Abrams movies. But otherwise, that's like most of my exposure to Star Trek.
That's interesting. Well, I'm
I like
glad
that people are just referring to them as the Zachary Quinto movies.
Yeah. Well, I saw him in Larchmont Village once. So he's sort of, we have a big.
He's your lodestar.
That's weird. Yeah. I saw him on like Intelligentsia once or something like that, you know?
Yeah. He can't, he doesn't have a house.
He also runs the coffee shop circuit. I saw him at Go Get 'Em Tiger. So
he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He likes to be outdoors, this man.
Who doesn't? He's Spock.
I remember when Gawker was running in New York City in the 2000s, the early aughts, and they had this Gawker Stalker thing where people would write in when they saw a celebrity, you know, just like tidbits or whatever, they would print it. But at a certain point, they had to issue like a moratorium on Chris Noth sightings. Chris Noth plays big on Sex and the City.
He's also in Castaway.
And The Good Wife.
Everybody loves his Castaway role.
That's so funny. He's in the tail end of Castaway.
Yeah, he's in 5 minutes, but I always like to bring up that.
Kit Castaway's Chris Noth, right. And
you're his biggest bully.
And they were like, you guys have to stop telling us what Chris Noth is up to. I don't think this guy has a house. Enough. Like, he's always outside. We get like 5 to 6 Chris Noth sightings a day. And like, we don't know if this man has ever been indoors. So...
It's also like, unless there's like a Castaway 2 coming up, like we're all good. he has the one famous role, Castaway.
I wish I was in Castaway.
Yeah. I mean,
just as it like a person who is not supposed to be on the island, like just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I shouldn't be seeing this. Yeah, just you poke your head out of the trees. Like, this isn't for me.
Oh, no, just you didn't see me. You're alone. You're all alone. You didn't see me.
Yeah, you catch Tom while he's knocking his tooth out. You're like, oof, this guy. Oh, we have a whole dental clinic on the other side of the island.
How many times have you seen that movie?
I just saw it. I rewatched it recently. So I have all these details in my mind.
I was going to say, like, I just remember, we all remember just one thing.
That's a really good song. We all remember just one thing.
Okay, so listen, this episode, I'm gonna describe it. It's season 7, episode 23. It says a series of puzzling events on and off the holodeck.
We all remember just one thing.
Lead the crew of the Enterprise to a surprising conclusion. The ship is creating its own offspring. The crew has to assist with this arduous process to ensure the survival of the emerging life form and their own. That's the longest description I have ever seen. And this came from Brandon Braga's desire to create one more holodeck episode before ending the season. But he didn't want to make Dixon Hill. He wanted to make like a crazy, like the most holodeck.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So there we go. We created an amalgamation. He created a bizarre amalgam of all the holodeck shows we've ever seen. And so it's Dixon Hill crossed with King Arthur's court, with the Old West, with modern day New York, all together.
it did very much seem like an episode, especially having only watched like three episodes at this point, that it was one that I was like, oh, this one's a little for the fans. Like, these are clearly references that I am not catching whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's like, are you even catching them if you're a fan? I mean, they're not like fan favorites. It's like one of those things the writers put in to be like, remember this thing we did? And everybody's like, yeah. You know, they do. It's for their own navel-gazy.
It's a little bit, it's sort of like a slightly more clever way to do like a clip show episode, but not that much more clever.
But these are not like known characters. So it's an interesting like version of it. Like once Troy explains it, that it's like an infantilized symbol version of things. I was like, oh, okay, thank God. Because otherwise it's just like they went to the Edith Head costume storage and they were like, well, what's available now? They were all like upset because most things were like taken. So it's like, well, there's a 1920s. Here's like a mobster suit.
Yeah.
Here's an old.
It's a real mess.
Thing. But that was purposeful. It was. I like the idea that.
I like the idea too.
The ship is building, is creating a consciousness that's like singularity, basically.
Right. Like I like that idea. And I like
version of it.
I remember liking this episode a lot when I first saw it. And
yeah, me too.
Being really attracted to the way that they, I mean, it's, you know, I love a mystery, Data. It's just, it's very classic. Anytime they do a holodeck mystery sode, it's like super classic Star Trek. And so that is also why I chose this episode for the one-on-one Veronica and then nobody else.
I'm going to leave.
Nobody else was supposed to be here for this episode, but you know, we just deal with what we have.
I really do Skylar's? Just accidentally insert myself when I'm trying to like solve.
You do not. No, problems. No, we welcome you. We ask you questions. You help
Skylar's
us with Zoom.
Dying inside a little bit.
He's dying inside a little bit.
Men's. I will not put myself in the episode description. I'll just be like,
his finger has been shakily hovering over the stop video. Yeah. Shakily hovering over the leave button. At any moment. Button. He said, I can leave like five times.
It's great.
Let him leave like 5 minutes before we end.
It has a natural tension. The story of this episode is like, is Skylar going to leave? Because now he kind of can't.
It's kind of a hostage situation.
It
episode.
Is. You can't leave. So it'll feel weird now because I keep calling you out. You're in a real tough spot, buddy. I don't really know what you're going to do. But
it's also, I didn't really provide that much help when it came to the tech problem at the top, too. So it's like, I came in to be competent. I was incompetent. And then I've been
locked in. Yourself.
The listeners should understand. You're going to be thinking about this way longer than anybody else who's listening to this show.
That's what I do every time I'm truly accidentally on a podcast.
Well, accidentally on purpose is
I like
the name of the game. I wanted to share this. This is my favorite part of the beginning. So we cold open. Of course, Shakespeare's happening. And I like the beginning of this episode because Data is like just going off acting, capital A acting. And it's like the season is winding down. The series is winding down. Clearly, Spiner is like, okay, let's get it. You know, he's like seeding his reel. You know, for the future projects. But
My agent insisted I show some range.
Exactly.
Because we're going to need some future projects coming in. Yeah.
So he is, Picard is directing him, and he takes issue with.
Did ever plummet sound? Captain?
Sir, your attention is wandering.
Data, I can barely see you.
It's so.
But,
funny.
Sir. I'm supposed to be attempting a Neoplatonic magical rite. The darkness is appropriate for such a ritual.
Yes, but Data, this is a play. The audience has to see you.
Perhaps I have been too literal with respect to my set design. Computer, modify holodeck program Data 7-3, Shakespeare's The Tempest, Act 5, Scene 1. Increase torch light by 20%.
There, that's much better. Now, do you want to try it again?
Yes, sir.
And then a train comes. So I just love his delivery so fucking much. Like
so
when
good.
Picard goes, when Picard's like not even looking at him and he's like, I can't even see you. It's so good. Like, it's so season seven.
He's Picard has like, he's a trained Shakespeare actor. And here's Brent Spiner just doing this. And it's funny because Patrick Stewart then gets to give him notes about what Shakespearean acting is. And it's like amazing.
And it's like, did they just turn the camera on when they were like in shooting in cast holding?
Yeah, I don't know.
You look at the back of their chairs.
They were like, do it, record it.
Yeah, film.
So I love this episode because suddenly there is this like last of Brent Spiner's capital A acting. There's Patrick Stewart talking about fucking Shakespeare, which is amazing. I was like, how much of these lines did he write and or correct? Because he has to say them. And then there's a train that almost runs them over mysteriously. And they shoot at Paramount Pictures where I shot a scene too. So I could recognize the set. Like I shot a scene exactly.
Really?
There. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Is that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is the exterior later at Paramount Studio?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I have a scene from Strange Angel where like I catch a trolley, a red car or something.
So cool. Yeah. I was, as soon as that scene came up, I was like, I love studio lot exteriors. They're so, it's such a fun, bizarre little magical place to be.
Yeah. I have so many memories of like clip clopping through them on high heels, like trying to get to an audition that I'm late for.
Those are our memories. Those are the memories.
Those
now
are the you know, mouse pad in hand.
My audition memories.
Yeah, I gotta go set up.
It's like,
for my audition.
Excuse me.
Running.
Room 23, section L.
Oh, she's prepared. She brought her mouse pad.
Thank you for coming prepared, by the way. You don't believe any loner mouse pads we had to give people.
So I actually shot like, it was, I think, one of the most expensive Strange Angel scenes because it had like maybe 50 something extras and it had fake rain and it had like major green screens happening so that we can turn it all into like LA in the 30s.
That's so cool.
And I had to do a stunt. Like it was this scene and I suddenly, but this one's dressed out down completely. And I was like, oh, that's the corner.
Yeah.
Like you can recognize them once you like see it. It's like, it's the same four streets.
And from How I Met Your Mother, I think.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. The one I always think of is the Universal one, because I've like seen that one so many times and it's a cool one. They're all cool.
Because you're always there. Cool.
Well, I have had the privilege of PAing on many a game show that took me there. And you do drive through it, and it's always fun. It's like a good place uses that exterior, and like all those little towns are very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they're pretty cool. Well, I know that this one's Paramount because famously TNG's in Paramount, but I'm about to check on the website.
Hey, babe, you want to come say hi? I'm doing the podcast.
We might get a Garrett
Trek. Yeah, come down.
He's on his way, guys.
Has he a choice? Has he a choice, though, is what it
does. He have a choice? Has he
before,
a choice?
Before bed. You're alone in your bed.
He doesn't. Okay. Because Garrett is living in my head and my home rent-free. No, he doesn't live here rent-free, but he does live in my head rent-free. He is coming back.
I love that
you're
obsessed with your boyfriend that you've been obsessed with for a long time.
Good. I've been obsessed with him for a long time, yeah. He leaves the house every day, and he's always leaving for like 45 minutes. And we've gotten into this groove where he like is constantly saying goodbye, and I'm just, I won't have it. Because at first it fooled me, because I'd be like, oh, bye. And then like I'd be like working on something, and he'd say goodbye, and then an hour later, he'd be like, "Hey, babe," and I'd be like, "Ugh!" Just like so scared. Here he comes. Ooh, his little bucket hat. Hey, babes. Oh.
I'm not gonna be able to really talk though, because I can't hear anything.
Can you guys hear him okay? I can put them on the speaker. Hey. I don't know what that will do to the sound of the podcast.
Damn, Veronica, your camera looks like super high def.
It does. Thank you. It's I'm a light, actually. Jealous. Wait. I should show Garrett my mouse pad.
Okay, so I'm going to preamble
guessing,
this.
I'm just guessing what you're saying.
No,
it's all right.
Swag.
Yeah, well, that's true. But she bought this mouse pad she really wants to show you, so.
Okay. Yeah, look at that booty. Love that.
It's wrist it support. Perfectly.
It's also a great reveal every time because, like, the top part, funny to have.
Yeah, the top part the is like, part, oh, mouse pad. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. Can he hear it?
No, he
Skylar
can't hear
and
you.
I? No, oh, okay. That's no. Tell him that's a cool bucket hat.
She says that's a cool bucket hat.
Yeah, what does it say?
Danceteria.
Cool.
Did you ever go there? You could probably go there.
Could I? Why? What is it? What's required?
That was your time in New York.
I hate to hear things like that.
Alice, you could go there.
You'd probably...
You could get in.
You could probably get in.
You're not bucket hat worthy, but you get in.
He says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Garrett. My middle name is Garrett.
What?
My middle name is Garrett.
That's
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to tell him that the one time we
That's
did that episode together.
That's a crazy coincidence.
Well, you can still tell him because like you haven't said it yet. You can have it locked and loaded just decades from now.
That'll be exciting. I'll shoot him an email.
I'll be overseeing the birth of my foster child's first kid in the hospital or some crazy thing happening 15 years from now. And you'll be in the waiting room with Garrett and by yourself. And you'll be like, my middle name's Garrett. It'll just like come tumbling out. Just...
Yeah, my energy will be entirely wrong.
Yeah. So I wanted to, there's some clips from this episode. There's not that many clips that I'm in love with.
Can I tell you something?
Okay.
It says, Data may have a good reason to ask for Jean-Luc Picard's insight into the character Prospero. The following year, 1995, Patrick Stewart played the role of Prospero on Broadway. Tiny snaps from Alex. Okay, let's see it.
Slow clap.
These nodes were linking the sensors to our warp control and defensive systems. We believe this is why the ship jumped to warp.
When the sensors detected danger, the defensive system reacted to the threat and activated the warp engines to protect us.
Where did the nodes come from?
It is possible the magnoscopic storm we recently encountered had an unexpected effect on the ship's systems.
Wherever they come from, they seem to be multiplying.
As they increase, it will become progressively more difficult to control the ship.
What do you propose we do?
Well, getting rid of them isn't going to be so easy. When we attempted to examine the circuitry of one of the nodes, it generated a force field to keep us out.
Well, whatever's going on, our first priority is getting back control of the ship.
Agreed. All of the nodal connections intersect in Holodeck 3. It appears to be a focal point of some kind.
We might be able to find a way to use the holodeck circuitry to disable the nodes permanently.
All right, let's do it.
I pulled this scene because I really, really love, like, when they're explaining something to Riker, because they're these two, like, super, like, one of them is literally a supercomputer. And then also Geordi's, like, the smartest engineer in the entire fleet. And then Riker's like, great. So what do you think we should do? Like, he doesn't know what's going on at all.
Sounds like you guys got to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. He just has to go back to Captain Picard and be like, yeah, they're going to, I think they're going to go to the holodeck. And Picard is going to be like, go to the holodeck. Why? Like, that's. They have to be working on this. And like, oh no, the holodeck is connected. And Picard's like, that's what they told you. He's like, no, it made sense when I was down there. I just
you want
can't
me to go back down there, get it again. It's not gonna help. I'm gonna understand it as much if
Look,
I do that.
You want to go to I you know that this is not my forte. So they go into the holodeck and they just see absolute shit show. Like, people are putting a puzzle together, just a bunch of background actors doing a bunch of crazy stuff. And I love that because, like, when you're on the holodeck and you have to play somebody doing something that is sort of like, you have to do this weird thing where you get ignored and talked over by the actual cast members. And it must be the most degrading, like, job of being an actor. Because unless they talk directly to you, they're just speaking in front of you and over you. And it's really, it's funny. It's, to me, it's very sad. I wish to be a fly on these walls.
I was right. I was trying to make off with my brick. Take good care of that. We can't afford to lose it. Now, are you people going to leave? Or do we have to throw you off the train?
We don't say you people in 2024.
According to my tricorder, the holodeck safety...
The knight just hanging out in the background?
His weapon could be lethal.
All right, let's get out of here.
So the guy has to just look at them while he says his weapon's lethal and not react.
Can I just, like... what's the deal with Beverly and Picard's conversation about the Orient Express? Beverly's like, you never know who you might meet. And it's like, it's so mysterious. And it's like, okay, first of all, the Orient Express, according to this, goes from Paris to Istanbul. So it's like, not that far. It's literally the shortest little distance, and it's Europe. In Europe. It's not even... Second, it's a holodeck program.
You know, Beverly's a regular Joe Biden. She's a train man.
She's a train head.
She's a total train head.
It isn't really the train itself that I'm interested in.
What then?
It's not the train. It's the experience. Come on.
The Orient Express is romantic, mysterious.
America.
An elegant way to see exotic places and meet fascinating people.
History.
Do you know that one time on one trip, both Sigmund Freud and Gertrude Stein just happened to be in the same car?
Minds are a generation. Gertrude. Sigmund Freud. Same car. Come on.
Why don't you take a trip yourself and find out?
Riker to Picard.
Picard here.
All sections ready to begin the survey.
And then this weird interjection at the end.
Don't forget the trip, Jean-Luc. Think about it. You never know who you'll meet on the Orient Express.
I like it. Okay, are you like the travel agent for the train?
I know. That was so weird.
She's in PR for this past train. Yeah. You know this train that it is impossible for you to ride unless you go on the holodeck?
She's like, honestly, it's great. And for a limited time only, you can get 12 times points back. He's like, wait, what's going on? Do you have some weird deal with the holodeck train?
She pulls out a diorama, yeah. You could sit here or you could sit here.
Mother's Day weekend's coming up. So Troy kind of figures it out that all these like holodeck personalities are parts of the ship. Being somewhat well, first Data figures out that the train is, or the ship is becoming sentient by looking at the nodes. Okay, first Geordi figures it out, tells Data about it, and then Data's like, and then he just presents to the trip to the holes of the crew. And I love this scene too, where he is. There's like everybody's assembled in the ready room, like ready for his decree. So they're like, oh, better get everybody assembled for class, Data's class about the ship. You guys on time? Do you get your mouse pads?
This is a synaptic map of the human neocortex.
And then look, everybody's just
This is a cross-section of my positronic net. And this is a schematic of the connection nodes linking the ship's systems. I believe some sort of neural matrix is forming on the ship.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Primitive, but it is an intelligence nonetheless. I believe it is an emergent property.
Everyone, show up. Data's got a presentation.
Super like that.
The human brain, for example.
This isn't the Q&A portion. Can you wait?
Of cellular functions and
he's just like acting in the morning, doing TED Talks in the afternoon.
That description does not explain human consciousness.
He's busy.
It's a full day for Data.
It really is. But he's, again, you know, he's had enough nutrient energy bits. He had a Lara bar.
Yeah, Data can do it all.
So they figure out the holodeck. The figure out the holodeck is where like all the different parts of the ship are representing themselves. Like the engineer is engineering section and the guy with the gun is weapons. Duh. And then at that point, it pretty much falls apart. Like, I don't know much about, I actually watched the end of this episode twice, was playing No Man's Sky at the time. So, we'll say don't quite understand what was going on. And that's not really the show's fault.
I'll tell you. It's kind of interesting. So, first of all, one of the curious things is that they find a mysterious node inside, like, the tubes, right? And the nodes are connecting to each other. So, apparently, they're realizing, like, the ship itself is turning into, apparently, some kind of sentient being. But and whatever happens in the holodeck is what's happening outside. So they put that together. And then Troy, who was in the background, is suddenly like, wait, I want to go into the holodeck and see the psychology of these people.
Right.
And she figures out a lot because she starts following them and she realizes, okay, they're talking in symbols like a kid would. And they don't seem to know what's happening. So it's like the ship being unaware that it's doing something itself. So they slowly figure out that this is kind of like saying a puppy trying to reproduce.
Yeah, I got that itself part. But what is the thing about like cortisol city or whatever? I guess that's the stress hormone, but.
No, that has to do with your lethargy or whatever.
Dude, I spent a lot of time in cortisol city.
That has to do, it's a, what is it called?
The fucking mayor.
Language town.
It's stress. Yeah, language. It's stress level. No, I do like this part though when Data is like, after he presents, the Picard is like,
if the ship is truly an emerging intelligence, then we have a responsibility to treat it with the same respect as any other being.
Which is like so funny because like it's your whole like, okay, but it's taking over the thing that you're depending on living. Like it's funny. I for some reason in this scene, I was like imagining the other ships in the quadrant hearing about this and being like, let's do what we can to make sure our ship doesn't become sentient. Because of course, Picard had to be like, well, we got to treat it with dignity. And like, honestly, if that happened to my ship, no thanks. Picard is such a softie.
Frankly, if my TV started reproducing, I'd be like, maybe.
Yeah,
camera started reproducing, I'd be like, right. Okay, let's take care of this. If it was my computer, I'd be like, okay. But like my vacuum cleaner, I'd be like, let's get
this out of here. Your home.
Or your entire smart home was just like deciding that like it has the right
take
like,
over.
It knows when the lights and internet need to work. I'd be like, sorry.
It's also not even like just your home. It's like a full, like a massive apartment building. It's like, what is.
Yeah. Response again and again.
Yeah.
To point out, there are other people on this ship besides you, Picard. Yeah. They're like whole families trying to survive who like don't want to die because you're like, oh, I think it might be interesting if like we see what it does.
1000%. Data has that beat at the end where he's like, it was pretty risky of you to do that. And it's like, yeah, you could have killed everybody. Like, really
he
badly.
He waited the most to say it. He waited until after they were out of the woods to say, like, by the way, you crazy.
Yeah, you crazy for that one, Picard.
It's a cool, like, it's a cool aside to be like at the end of the thing, you're like, hey, and they're like, well, it's all worked out. And then Data's like, sir, can I talk to you for a second?
Hey, you know when you almost murdered us all? I'm glad you didn't, I suppose.
Fun adventure.
Yeah. A million different ways this could have gone really wrong.
Going forward, do you maybe not want to just treat every... It's like, yeah, it's literally like if I was like, sorry, I can't hand in that project. My computer appears to be becoming sentient and I have to respect his wishes.
I need to see how it plays out.
I can't just intervene. It might be developing intelligence.
If the ship wants to make a new intelligence, I need to let it play out.
Apparently, it doesn't like Beverly, so whatever.
Yeah. He's angry.
Apparently, wants Beverly to have smaller quarters. That's what the ship said. It's a person, so it's like Citizens United.
That day, he's like angry at Beverly.
There's also no let me check in with anybody else on this. Does anybody else have any objection to me just running this insane experiment? We're just going to full steam ahead here.
Like, do you think maybe an admiral might have something to say? Like, we own that ship. That's not your decision to make. You can't. It's a loaner. You get that, right?
I like that, you know, I like that Troy was an active part of it.
Me
where
too.
She's like, her own natural curiosity was like, let me get in here. Like, I also noticed, wow, this is the end of the show because Troy has those like highlights in her bangs. And I was like, wow, these are the pictures that when you start the season again and you see how young they look. And then you see a photo of Troy with her like highlights. You're right. Like, wow, it's so much older.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So we are definitely of age at this point. Look at Beverly's like rock star look.
Yeah, she looks like a member of Motley Crue in the beginning.
These characters you spoke to, do they have any significance?
Yeah, well, they're part of the story.
They represent different aspects of the ship. The engineer, for instance, may represent the navigational system. The gunslinger could be the weapon system.
Is there any way that we can persuade them to give us back control of the ship?
I don't think it's possible to reason with them. Many of them are genuinely unaware of what's going on. It's as though this emergent intelligence is like an infant acting on impulse, trying to figure itself out as it goes. The only source of experience it can draw on is ours, through our holodeck programs.
And is there a way that we can relate to them on their own level, find some way to influence their behavior?
Maybe there is. I'd like to go back and try.
Counselor, we haven't been able to reestablish the safeties.
The injuries you suffered on the holodeck weren't severe, but next time they might kill you. I'm aware of that.
Like, she literally fell and some bricks fell on her and she's fine. And Beverly's like, you're fine now, but I'm just saying, you could die. It's like, we know.
It's like saying, like, you're okay now, but someday you could get in a car crash. It's like, that's true. Yeah.
She's the doctor, Bev. Too. Like, why, Bev? And then Picard is like, and remember, every time we do this, they do that. So I'm just like, but she's this counselor. Like,
she's like, yeah, I know. I invented this.
Yeah.
She's so patient, honestly, with people.
I go to conferences every 5 episodes.
Yeah.
To learn this, to learn what you're
she's
saying
like,
to me.
Yes, I know that you have to say this, so I'm allowing you to, but I already know because I actually just told you. My mom calls it sheep-eating when she's in a meeting and there's a woman says something. And I'm going to go into the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton thing again, but this is the thing where like you're in a meeting and you say something and then a guy goes, just blows right past it. And then she would have this system with all the other women in the room where they would repeat the thing that the woman said, just like a cacophony of voices to make the thought come out so that they would actually hear it. They called it sheep eating.
That is so amazing. That's what united with Stan.
And the reason it is Bernie Sanders related is because if anybody's listening and doesn't know what I'm talking about, recently a bunch of stuff has come out about all the different plans Hillary had for like healthcare proposals that are basically really hardcore, you know, blueprints for the Medicare for all that Bernie is like always going on and on about and stuff. And he like obviously was so shitty to Hillary and like spent 4 years being like, she's a shill. And like so many of the things that he talks about doing are things that she wanted to do, including like, you know, reform for the healthcare system, especially, which is like a huge, huge issue to him. So a lot of people are like, okay, receipts. Like we have the internet. We know we have videos. And she did it with a scrunchie in her hair. So people don't remember there was a scrunchie involved and she had a long, there's really a cool picture of her wearing a long leather jacket and sheer hose that I feel like isn't getting enough play.
Hillary, let's see.
Hillary Clinton.
That changes, that makes me actually like her. Leather jacket.
Leather jacket, sheer hose, I think. And she's like sitting, I'm also Googling it.
leather jackets. That's good. That's rad. I wish I like her.
You can. I can help. Oh, that's newer pictures.
I just try not to.
You don't have to try. You cannot. You can just stop because she's great. She's the OG.
When I look at Hillary Clinton sheer hose, that it's not quite enough.
No, it doesn't work.
No, you have to.
Oh, you have to put 90s in there, maybe. Anyway.
I'll get it.
Oh, okay. He's on the case. So, no, Hillary's the best. She's the OG. She's the greatest. She did this thing called when her healthcare plan failed because everybody was like, we hate this bitch. She gave up credit for it to make it pass. It didn't pass. And then basically pushed through to make the child healthcare program CHIP be a thing because that was the only piece of the legislation that survived. And she basically gave credit to a bunch of other people so that just like Elizabeth Warren did with the Consumer Protection Act, like they were like, you're toxic now because everybody hates you and you're a bitch. And she was like, fine, you take credit for it. I just want the legislation. Which is like, yet again, a woman in power has to like take her name off shit and then men get all the credit. Story of my life. Everybody's like, no, this never happened to you.
Regarding, so like,
how we got into this?
Happen, yeah, what would happen if TNG, if Trek's in the City were to suddenly form an artificial life form and a consciousness that was the sum of all of our experiences? Wait,
you mean the series?
No, our show. If our show were to reproduce itself into an into some kind of,
I think auto scheduling would happen for sure. Like we'd have auto scheduled.
It would evolve into auto scheduling.
BetterHelp would like somehow become a sentient person.
No, because
hello.
The form intelligence
is something interfering.
Look, no. The form intelligence would come from the ship's system and the crew's personal records and mission logs. So it would be a lot of me chewing. It would chew.
There is a way in which this whole like intelligence is like a fun setup Alice's that doesn't really face. Get explored. Where it's like, I kind of want to know what this bizarre thing that was being crafted goes off to be, since it just becomes right. a little sprite well, outside of the ship.
It's the sum of all of their experiences. Like this little being that he let go into float off into space. So I'm thinking, I don't know. I was trying to make an analogy with our show. Like, what if our show made a little being? Mm. What would it be? The sum of all of our logs.
Maybe it would be Ramplu.
It would be Ramplu. It would definitely be Ramplu.
Aye, Ramplu.
It'd be a tiny Ramplu.
Only a podcast made another podcast.
Four engineering sections.
Yeah.
Four.
A podcast within a podcast. It'd be like, hi, welcome back, Soy Ramplu.
The computer would be Brett's voice.
Yeah. And constantly asking us if something is interfering with our mental health. I listened to a BetterHelp ad for Rachel. Rachel Maddow had a BetterHelp ad.
Yeah, I hear them all the time. And every time I hear them, I'm like, I know that beat. I know that line.
It's like a hit at this point.
Yeah.
You hear the refrain, you're like, oh, that's my jam. You're on the dance floor. It's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the club.
Yeah. When I roll into the club and they put on the BetterHelp ad.
You roll into the club and it's like something. Oh, we got to play some music for that. Obviously.
It's a 2021 original. It's a 2020 hit for sure.
Here we go. I hear some frying food upstairs. I'm going to have to go soon. What's the.
We have to go.
Here we go. Yo.
Hi.
Something interfering with your mental health today. Get better help. Yo, something interfering with your mental health. Something interfering make you unhappy now. Something
healthy.
Interfering. It's something interfering. Interfering with your mental health. There's something interfering.
Healthy.
Interfering with your mental health. Something interfering with your mental health. Today,
healthy.
You can get better help. Today, /check. Better help. /check. Better. H-E-L-P /treks. Better help. /treks. We are not getting paid for this plug.
Mental.
The best part mental. Is that we just did a whole
mental.
Ad.
Mental. 1 million.
Help.
Over 1 million.
Not getting paid for it. That's what I like to do. I like to not get paid for stuff. I'm a woman in comedy.
I do like someone taking. Listen, no one other than BetterHelp. No one other than BetterHelp has asked me if someone's in, something's interfering with my mental health.
It's true.
My happiness. It's true. Everyone else has given one to zero fucks.
I think in like British culture, like the word interfering means molestation.
Really. No,
I think
it's
so.
It's like boot to trunk. But
weigh in. Yeah. Weigh in the comments, guys. Ow. I just got. Get off me. You little asshole bit me. It was a love bite, but it's fine.
Who's this? Who's this little
Garrett. He just was like.
Yeah, you thought. I thought it might be Garrett.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, he's interfering with him. Yeah, I don't know. Am I crazy? Maybe I made that up. I don't know. So yeah, I didn't know what the McPherson Nebula thing was. That's what I didn't understand.
They're in the market for some variety of particle that they can't get unless they go Let's say go like some insane distance that'll kill the entire crew. And then it turns out they can produce that particle if they fire a torpedo into a nebula.
Oh, cool.
It's a little bit one of those like this will solve the story problem we invented a couple of minutes ago.
Right. So they solve it. They get the thing gets the particle it needs to make its baby. And its baby is just like a little toy, like puzzle thing.
Yeah, it looks like. Do you remember those like expanding? Like
yeah, it looks like that.
It looks a little bit like one of those.
And then what? They shoot it out into space. What happens?
It leaves. It like phases through the ship.
Okay. I see that. And they're like, oh, that's nice. It's like they went to the christening.
Yeah.
What if Beverly was like, we have to baptize it? So on brand. Beverly, are you doing that Catholic thing?
from my Irish planet.
Her weird Irish colony. It's like, well, it's like it can't hurt to baptize it. She just like sprays it with
so
some.
Annoying
she's like,
with
I'm going to hit it with this hypo spray. And it's like, Beverly, is that holy water?
No, but I mean,
no, it's not holy water. Just let me just get close to it.
You know that this episode ended and Riker was like asking the ensigns, like, so what happened? He's going around the hallways like, what happened?
Weird day, huh? And you know what happened. So if you could kind of remember.
Retell it.
I loved it. I got to hear it again. You run through all of it, would you?
Yeah. And he's in 10 forward and he's like, so Guinan wasn't there. So can you say what happened and explain it? I mean, in detail, because Guinan loves details. Guinan's like, I'm very busy.
And they're like, Guinan, quit.
This guy tells the details of our day so good. You got to hear him tell it.
Because, like, you know, I have to submit my report later, so I can't stay all night. But, like, it'd be fun to hear it again just to refresh my memory, but mostly to tell Whoopi what happened. Be great.
Oh my God.
If you could explain.
Oh my God. That's what Riker ended up doing. And by the way, Data acted the scene in the morning, TED Talk at night, and then. Just immediately, it gave birth to a life form, gave shit to Picard, and he has a scene ready to go. And that's the type of actors that Hollywood has been asking for, and we just don't, you know, we don't get to that level ever. So
we'll watch the last scene.
Let's just watch it.
Captain, I am staging a scene from The Tempest this evening for a small audience. I would like for you to attend.
I would be honored. What scene?
Miranda's first encounter with other human beings?
Oh, brave new world that has such people in it.
It seemed appropriate. Captain, you took a substantial risk in allowing the Enterprise to complete its task.
Why do you say that?
Because it was crazy.
Because the end result was unknown. The object could have been dangerous. It may, in fact, be dangerous.
And I have allowed it to go off on its merry way.
Yes, sir.
The intelligence that was formed on the Enterprise didn't just come out of the ship's systems. It came from us, from our mission records,
personal logs. Holodeck programs are fantasies. Now, if our experiences with the Enterprise have been honorable, can't we trust that the sum of those experiences will be the same?
You outrank me, so I guess that's what we're going with. Because
we're gonna trust it.
Again, it doesn't seem like that's... that is but one hypothesis. Well, you're the captain, so I guess so. It is, but it is out there. So, so dangerous. Sad that it doesn't come back to haunt them, but it will haunt me and you, and it will haunt Skylar forever that he was so much a part of this episode, I'm sure.
It was a great Skylar, can you leave? Alice exclusive episode.
Oh, yeah, Skylar, you have to leave.
I have to leave. We're
Skylar, can you leave?
Skylar, you should leave. Okay, bye. So,
Alice. He left faster than I finished my you have to leave.
Yeah, like you said, the finger was hovering the whole time
he
over
was
the
ready.
Stop video button. 1 foot out the door, man. Ready. Oh, he's back.
I sent you a link, guys, to the Orient Express, one of the websites. I saw the tickets. I was seeing the tickets, and I regret to inform they're over $4,000.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. On
so
train?
You can still go on it?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody tell Beverly.
I must say, it is a nice website. The money's
better.
Being spent.
It better be. Some shitty background.
It's like the old Space Jam website.
One of those trains is like, it's only 50 people in the train. I guess all 50 people do like COVID tests.
It must be like the old or like what is it, the Queen, the QE2, that you can do the transatlantic. Like, it's sort of the same sort of like old world charming thing that you're mostly buying the name and the experience more so than you are like making an efficient trip to Istanbul from Paris.
Right.
It's I don't know why I thought Istanbul was like Budapest, but now I see it and it's actually a long trek. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I wish it was like somewhere anyone ever needed to go though.
Istanbul is supposed to be amazing. I've never been, but
yeah, but who needs to go there? You know,
it has two.
Nobody's
oceans
like, I'm needed in Istanbul. Me and my mouse pad.
I feel like James
oceans
Bond.
That I know that one of the That's oceans true. In Istanbul is only for them. It's private.
Only, a private ocean? Only,
yeah.
Well,
a private sea.
Sea. Who's them?
For them? The Turks?
A private sea. Yeah.
Just for the Turks?
Yeah.
Well, it's just for the city.
Clear out. This is for the Turks.
Hey, you don't look Turkish.
Let me see.
Buddy, roll that towel up.
All right, come on. Yep, the umbrella and everything. Let's go.
My brother was there.
Sea is for the Turks.
Yeah, the Sea of Aww. Marmara. See, it's the Sea of Marmara. It's like, just Google Istanbul, and the Sea of Marmara.
It's like that Wu-Tang album that there's yeah. only, that like Martin Shkreli owns, that there's like one copy of, but for Turkey, yeah.
So the Sea of Marmara, like Turkey has, it's his... their own little sea. It's called the Sea of Marmara. Look at the map. Check it out.
I'm
it's
looking
right
at
there.
Pictures of the Grand Suite.
It's online.
Take your Orient Express there. Pay $4,000.
This is not.
Wouldn't you
be,
want to?
I wouldn't want to pay.
Luxurious.
It is extremely luxurious, but I would just say, like, for me, I wouldn't want to leave, and it would probably be a really big scene when I had to leave.
I know. I'd be like, I paid $4,000 for this train, and I live here now. This is
I
my
want
month's
this train.
Rent.
This is my train now that I live in.
Yeah, I'd be upset too. I'd be like, I can't believe I paid for this experience, and it ended.
Oh my God! Even the twin cabin is like super cute.
I know. It's yummy, guys. If you're not
Veronica, we got to do it. We got to do it.
I know. Can we podcast from there?
That'll be what the
month?
Show becomes. Yeah, we're going to pivot to just being on the Orient Express.
Just because of a Beverly comment.
Yeah.
She really did. Remember how she was like, we were like suspicious, and now it's like she worked on us. Oh, Beverly. Fucking.
We are on this link. We are Googling prices. We're trying to see how we get Brett to give
Beverly
us the money.
Just gets a little bump in her bank account. We're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Forever Dog should be financing more international travel.
I feel like we're not doing enough international travel spots.
A fucking 2 ticket to the Orient Express for the month, because I'm not leaving that train.
I'll go to Turkey. I'll take Turkey back.
What if you did like us, like maybe I could do a cruise Marmara type situation where I'm doing comedy on the Orient Express. What do you do to that crowd? Like,
you know what the Orient Express has? Well, the website I'm seeing, it's only 50 people on the train. So a month in, they'll know your jokes. They'll be like, "Bo," they'll just like,
yeah, I'd have
do
to
something to you.
I'd have to write a new set every night. But that's the life aboard the Orient Express.
That's the life.
Well, you guys, time for me to go eat some dinner.
The whatever was being fried must be taken care of.
Yeah, I'm still on that South Beach diet, so we got some cauliflower rice so we can make a stir fry.
Sounds
amazing.
Good.
Yeah, I've lost a total of 3 pounds in 2 weeks, so it's not enough.
That's good. I'm happy for you.
Well, I had gained like 15, so
it's a COVID-15.
What is the South? What constitutes a South Beach diet?
It's like super low carb, super restrictive. Like for the first phase, it's zero carb. Like you don't eat any grains at all and any fruit. Like no refined sugar, but also no fruit sugars, no wheat or gluten or like carrots are even discouraged. So it's very restrictive. And then after 2 weeks on Monday, we're going to start to introduce carbohydrates into the diet. It's meant to get rid of, it's meant to help with heart health, but it's also meant to, the first phase is meant to help with carbohydrate cravings. So that was my issue, is that I couldn't stop eating like 150 Reese's peanut butter cups every day. So I wanted to go on a super restrictive diet to try to rebalance. Like Veronica stopped eating sugar. And I was like, I'm going to do that too. And then I just couldn't. Like, I was just like part of it is like in the drawer of my desk next to my mouse pad. It's just chocolate sitting around. So
this is a true American addiction problem.
Yeah.
It's called sugar. And we're all addicted to it because of FDA is not really doing shit. Mm.
Just like SAG. SAG
not
after.
Really.
Yeah.
The two villains.
The two villains.
So it's like you find like sugar derivatives or fake sugars
derivatives
in like hummus. You find it in like packaged things.
So I made my own hummus. I rehydrated chickpeas and made my own hummus, and it's fucking great. It's really good.
Oh, we're part of a bean club. And
we're out of time. So
no, I'm sorry. I can sell you this later. But you got it. We have great chickpeas.
I'll never afford the Orient Express if I join your bean club.
I'm very, very pro the bean club. We get so many beans every quarter. It rules. We make a lot of beans. They're great. Rancho Gordo, shout out.
I can't.
This one goes all the way out to Rancho Gordo. I have based in Napa. Great company.
I've got nothing for this. You're on your own train, powered by farts.
Put the dubstep thing in again. This is great.
Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for being here, Veronica. We have like 3 more episodes, and then a break.
Yeah, and then a little break just to like rethink what we are,
recalibrate the systems, go down and, to engineering, see what we can do with the warp core,
see what the ship has reproduced. You know, check the babies out.
Check the babies out.
See if that was a good idea to just
see
let
if that
the ship
was
reproduce.
Indeed. Yeah.
And else. Yeah. I'm excited. I think we have a very special episode that we're coordinating. That's
right. We have 3 episodes left. So we have 3 episodes plus the very special episode we're coordinating. So you have stuff to look forward to.
I'm excited. I'm excited to take a break too. But mostly I'm a little emotional about the last three. So, you know, yeah, bear with me.
I understand.
We'll see what happens.
I've been trying to get out of this episode, so I don't really know. I may just leave.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.